was in the Sunday morning class with you, and we talked about the blessings of heaven. We said heaven's a place of reaping and rest and rejoicing, righteousness, reunion. Thought it might be good today, say good, to look at the flip side. When I say flip side, I really mean flip side of that coin, and talk a little bit about hell, the horrors of hell. I want someone to turn to 2 Corinthians 5:11 and someone else to turn to Hebrews 10:31. I remember when I was growing up, when I was a teenager, I thought if I can just avoid hell, that will be good enough for me. Heaven would have been just icing on the cake. And I remember telling a preacher that's how I felt. And he said, well, when you're young, that's oftentimes how we feel. As we get older, as we mature, it becomes more than just not wanting, you know, to go to hell, but also wanting to go to heaven, right? But never, I don't think we ever ought to lose completely the fear, the horror of hell. Who has 2 Corinthians 5:11?
Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest in God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience.
The A part of that verse you ought to underline. Knowing therefore the what? Right? We persuade men. Can't force people. Sometimes we want to force people to do what we know they ought to do. But he says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Who has Hebrews 10:31? All right. You ought to look at Romans 11:22 while we're at it. And someone else turn to Psalm 31:5. Let's read Psalm 31:5 first. Who's got it? All right, this ought to sound familiar to you. Into your hands I commend my spirit. Who said that in the New Testament, right? Jesus did on the cross. But think about this. That's something that a lot of people have said throughout history as they die. Into your hands I commit my spirit. That was the first prayer Jewish mothers taught their sons to pray at night. You know how we say, now I lay me down to sleep. That was their prayer. Into your hands I commend my spirit. Jesus prayed that on the cross, except he added one word to it, Father, Father. So even on the cross, Jesus died like a child falling into his Father's arms. You would not want to say that if you are not right with God. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Because the Bible says, for those who are not right with him, it is a fearful thing to fall into God's hands. Fearful thing. Who has Romans 11:22? Right. We want to be balanced in our teaching. God is good. God is love. Behold, therefore, the goodness of God, also, though, the severity of God. God is just. God cannot ignore evil. He cannot just ignore sin. So behold, the goodness and the severity of God. On them that fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness. If you keep on doing what is good, if you continue in His Word, otherwise you'll be cut off too, Paul says. Right? What I want to do this morning is talk about hell. You know, it's not a pleasant subject. I heard an elder say once that hell is not as hot as it used to be. He just meant we don't talk about it as much. You can bet that, you know, Joel Osteen is not talking about hell this morning. Whatever he's talking about, it's not hell. Right? That doesn't sound forth from many pulpits today. When you read the word hell in your Bible, if you're reading the King James especially, make this note. It's found 23 times. That's the King James. But the word hell, English hell, actually represents three different words in the Greek. In other words, when you read the word hell in your Bible, you could be reading a translation of one of three different Greek words. Three different Greek words, all translated hell. And someone says, so what? Well, it makes a difference, as we're going to see. Those three words, those three Greek words that are translated by the one word hell in our Bibles, King James, are Hades, Tartarus, and Gehenna. Hades, Tartarus, Gehenna. Which one of those three is hell when we talk about, you know, the devil and all the evil people are going to be in hell eternally? Which one of those three are we talking about? Gehenna. Gehenna. All right. Sometimes people think they're like being nicer when they say, you know, Hades. They'll tell, you know, they won't tell someone to go to the bad place. They'll just say, you go to Hades, and think they're saying the same thing, and they're not. We'll talk about that. Talk about Tartarus. But when we talk about hell, like the devil is in hell, going to be in hell forever, Gehenna. We'll talk about these first two. All right, let's look at Hades. We'll look at Hades first. We said hell is found 23 times, almost half, not quite, is this word. In the Greek, you're reading hell in your Bible, King James, Hades in the Greek, 10 times in the King James Version. Let's turn to these two passages. Hades is a generic word. It means the unseen, the not seen. Someone dies, we see their body, but we do not see where their spirit goes. Where does it go? It's unseen. And so Hades has come to be referred to as the unseen realm of the dead. Unseen to us. Unseen to us. It's a generic term. All right? It could mean, and think of Hades, and this is, you know, where you get, we're limited. We compartmentalize, physicalize things, if that's the word. There's a good place in Hades and there's a bad place in Hades. Hades is general, unseen realm of the dead. All the dead go there, but there's a good place and a bad place. Sometimes it's just used generally. Let's read Matthew 16:18, and someone else turn to Acts 2:27. You know Matthew 16:18, I know. Who has Matthew 16:18 and likes to read out loud, or is at least is willing to do it? All right, what version are you reading from? New King James fixes it. ASV fixes it. I don't think the ESV even does in this case. Growing up, if you grew up in the church, I dare say you have heard a lesson where that someone quoted this: upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, and emphasize that. And it's as though they think Jesus is saying that you just picture the devil at the gates of hell trying to keep Jesus from preventing the church, and Jesus said that's not going to happen. That's not Gehenna. That's not what Jesus says there. When he says, I will build my church and the gates of Hades won't keep me from doing it, he's not talking at all about the devil. That's why hell, remember I said, what does it matter? There's three words, that. You might be misled if you didn't know that. Well, what does it mean? When Jesus says, I'll build my church and the gates of Hades won't prevail against it. Let's read two passages. Psalm 16, I think it's verse 10. Who will read Psalm 16, 10? We need to read it first, and then we'll read Acts 2:27. Psalm 16:10.
Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither
That's the King James, isn't it? All right. Thou wilt not leave my soul, and again it should be Hades. Neither wilt thou give thy Holy One to see corrupt. This is a prophecy about Christ. Right? Turn over to Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, the first gospel sermon. And he said, David prophesied about the Messiah that he was going to rise from the dead. You crucified him, but God raised him up. Look at Acts 2:27. Thou wilt not leave my soul in Hades, neither wilt thou give thy Holy One to see corruption. You know, because of mistranslations, sometimes people think that Jesus went to hell during the 3 days, between, you know, Friday to Sunday, that Jesus went to hell and preached to the people there. But that's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what it says at all. Jesus didn't go to Gehenna. When Jesus died on the cross, His spirit went to Hades, which is the unseen realm of the dead. But on Sunday morning, what happened? Right? His body came forth from the tomb. His spirit came forth from Hades. He resurrected. So what is Jesus saying? Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades won't keep me from doing it. I'm going to die, but my spirit's not going to be detained in that Hadean realm. I'm going to burst forth from there. My spirit will come forth from Hades, reanimate my body. I will rise again. Matthew 28:6, He is risen. And that's what Peter quotes on Pentecost. Right? He said, David prophesied about the Messiah that his body wasn't going to see corruption. Jesus' body, he was buried on Friday, rose on Sunday, so his body did not go to corruption, right? Did not decay, and his spirit was not going to be left in Hades. Right? Remember what James said, the body without the spirit is dead? Well, the converse of that is the body with the spirit is life. So, Hades... not hell. It's not hell. It's the unseen realm of the dead. You might make a note if you use the King James. Now, sometimes Hades, by way of synecdoche, which is when you put a part for a whole, sometimes Hades is referred to a bad place. Right? Not hell per se, but, you know, might as well be. Right? The Bible teaches in Revelation that death and Hades, not death and hell, death and hell be cast into the lake of fire. Hell is a lake of fire. It says death and Hades will be cast into the lake of fire. So you know, technically, right, hell, not yet. But when bad people die, where do they go? Right? Well, they go to Hades. Right? That's a generic word. They go to the bad part of Hades. Let's read Luke 16:23. Now, if you've got the King James, just keep in mind, it's going to say, does anybody have the not? How about the New King James? How about Brother Homer? Would you read Luke 16:23? Luke 16:23. All right, thank you. This is the rich man and Lazarus. Remember the story. Lazarus died, was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man died and was buried. And where? In Hades, he lift up his eyes. Not Gehenna, but in Hades. Now Jesus said, I will build my church and Hades won't keep me from doing it. So both Jesus and the rich man were in Hades. Obviously, though, Jesus was not in the bad part. Was he? There's a good part of Hades and a bad part. Remember, Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." All right. Also called Abraham's bosom, Luke 16. But he says this rich man lifts up his eyes in torment. He says, "I'm in torment in this flame." Lift up his eyes in Hades. All right. Well, just because this is not Gehenna doesn't mean it's good. It's obviously a place of punishment. It's a place of torment. It's nowhere we want to be, because everybody that's in that part of Hades is going to end up in hell. When death and Hades are cast into the lake of fire at the end, everybody that's in that bad part of Hades, they're going to be in hell. Death and Hades are cast into the lake of fire. death being the repository of the body, Hades the repository of the spirit. We'll talk about it more in a minute. So just keep in mind that it's good to know. It's good to know what that means because it can give a false impression if you're not aware, especially Matthew 16, 18. I think that point is missed a lot, if I can be blunt with you. Upon this rock, I'll build my church in the gates of hell, Hades. What's it matter? Well, it does matter. You miss the whole point if you don't get that. But no. Go ahead.
This reminds me of the word love. The way we talk about love is a great word.
Yes.
Love. And another thing that why we translate wine,
right? Have a
distinction between alcohol and non-alcohol.
Yeah, the Greeks had four words for love. Three of them are in the Greek New Testament, right? Eros is not, but the other three are. And so we say, I love, you know, football. I love French fries. I love my wife. Surely we don't, you know, we don't rank all them the same when we say love, love, love. The Greeks had phileo, right? Your close, your buddies. Storge, which was familial love. Agape, you're exactly right. That's a good point. I'm glad you made that point almost. No, I am glad. I am glad. All right, the other one, Tartarus. Tartarus. This is only once. Hades, remember, all we're doing is adding up to 23. Hell is found in the King James 23 times. 10 of those times, it's the Greek word Hades. Once, it's this word. 2 Peter 2:4, God spared not the angels when they sinned, but cast them down to hell. What our Bibles say, but it's not Gehenna. The ASV only has it in a footnote. Tartarus. Tartarus. So angels, when they sinned, cast to Tartarus, committed in the pits of darkness, they're held there until judgment. You know what's interesting? Apparently there is no plan of salvation for angels. You know, we sin, we go astray, and there's a plan of salvation for us. There's God's first law of pardon, which is for the alien sinner to obey the gospel. God's second law of pardon is when we as Christians go astray, we repent, we pray, and ask forgiveness. When angels sin, they're done. Look at Hebrews 2:16. For surely it is not angels that He helps, but He helps the seed, He helps the offspring of Abraham. Well, that's us. If you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, Galatians 3, and heirs according to the promise. So it's not to angels that He gives aid. He gives help to us. So angels that sin, there is no second chance. When they sin, they're cast down to this place called Tartarus. And I think we can appreciate why that would be. Angels in the very presence of God, for them to sin, no redemptive chance there. You know, one and done, not to be crass. Now, this place, Tartarus, is most likely where the rich man was. We said Hades is generic for it, where all the spirits go. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says, when you die, your body returns to the dust and the spirit to the God who gave it. So our spirits go to Hades, right? There's a good place and a bad. Paradise is the good. Thief on the cross. Tartarus is the bad. Angels that sin. And we see the rich man most likely where he was. He was in Hades, but we know that it wasn't good because he was being punished. Well, angels are being punished here. And if you wanted to get technical, and you don't, Hades, you know, paradise, the good part, is what I would suggest is basically heaven, just you don't have your resurrected body yet, right? I know there are some that teach that we don't even see Christ until after the second coming because flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom of God. But Paul said he had a desire to depart and be where? With Christ, which is far better. When you die, you go into the presence of Jesus Christ, right? Well, where is Jesus Christ? He's at the right hand of God. Where is God? God's in heaven. So if you wanted to go one step further, I used to split hairs with people when somebody would say, well, so-and-so died, they're in heaven. And I would think in my mind, no, they're not in heaven. They're in Hades. They're in paradise. In my mind, I'm not going to tell them that, you know. But in my mind, I think, well, they're in paradise. I believe that paradise, we're trying to split hairs about spiritual things. I believe paradise. You're with the Lord. And where is the Lord? The Lord's in heaven. You're in heaven. You're with the Lord. You just don't yet have your resurrected body, which you won't get until when? Obviously, the resurrection. And the same thing with Tartarus. It is essentially hell. They don't have their body yet. We'll talk about that in a minute. Bad people are going to have a body too. We always think about the resurrection and about us getting new bodies. Bible teaches bad folks are going to have bodies too. We'll look at that in a minute. All right, so Hades 10 times, Tartarus one time, Gehenna the other 12. And this is, when we talk about hell, that's the word. The final eternal abode of those who die apart from God. 12 times in the Greek New Testament. But what's interesting is that in 11 of the 12, it's Jesus who uses the word. 11 out of 12. If you're like me, you're thinking, what's the other one? That's when James says that the tongue is a little member, but it can do a lot of bad things. It's like the tongue's been set on fire in hell, lit by the fires of hell, and he uses Gehenna. It's Jesus' half-brother. All 12 times someone in Jesus' family then, right? But 11 out of 12 is Jesus. And the reason that's interesting is this. Jesus said more, if you look about it, Jesus said more about hell than he did about heaven. Did you know that? Jesus said more about hell than he did heaven, and yet more people believe in heaven than believe in hell. If you took a survey today of society, more people are going to believe in heaven than in hell. If someone said, I believe in heaven, but I don't believe in hell, and you say, why do you believe in heaven? And they said, well, Jesus talked about heaven. If that's their rationale, then they're not consistent. If you're going to believe in heaven because Jesus talked about it, you're going to have to believe in hell as well. Said more about hell than he did heaven. Okay, all right, turn to 2 Chronicles 28. Who thought we'd go to Chronicles in a lesson on hell? I think it's interesting to track down where the word Gehenna came from. Gehenna is a transliteration. You know what a translation is, right? You find a word that matches the word. Transliteration, they just do letter for letter instead of word for word. Gehenna is a transliteration of an Old Testament Hebrew expression, the valley of the sun of Hinnom, H-I-N-N-O-M. It actually was a ravine on the southern side of Jerusalem. Gehenna, valley of the sun of Hinnom. You can almost see it there, Hinnom. Well, this valley was where children were offered in sacrifice to the pagan god Molech. Someone read 2 Chronicles 28:3, please. Someone else turn to 2 Chronicles 33:6. Who has 2 Chronicles 28:3? All right, can you imagine, here's this pagan god, this idol, and they worshipped him by offering their little babies to him in fire. Can you imagine what a horrible, horrible practice that was? 33:6, 28:3 is talking about King Ahaz. 33:6 is talking about Manasseh, who has 2 Chronicles 33:6. All right. All right, good. Well, actually, not good, bad. Right. Manasseh did the same thing. So what happened in the valley of the son of Hinnom? These little babies were offered to Molech. Burned. Someone turned to 2 Kings 23:10. Because when Josiah, who was a good king, when he launched his reformation, guess what he did to the valley of the son of Hinnom? 2 Kings 23:10, who has that? Don't be shy.
Which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech.
Thank you. He defiled it. He said, no more. No more parents are going to give their little babies to this god Molech. So he destroyed it, right? He said, not again. Josiah put an end to that. Says he defiled it. Well, in time, you can imagine the memories associated with this place. A place where parents offered their children in fire. Can you imagine? And you know, you can imagine. Just picture in your mind is sometimes is more awful than the words itself. But little babies being burned. The screams that would have been associated, the horror. Well, in time they made this place a garbage dump. Gehenna became a garbage depository where there was always a fire a-burning. Right. So at first, Gehenna, associated with this pagan god Molech, babies are offered. It's unspeakable, unimaginable. In time, they said, you know, no more of that. Let's turn it into a garbage dump. That's all it's fit for. So it became a garbage dump where there was always... Ever been to the dump, by the way? I remember the first time I ever... It's when we were living in Trustful, I think it was, and we had a bunch of stuff to haul off. And we went to the dump. And I can't describe the smell there. It was a sickly, sweet smell. Like, you knew that something wasn't right. It wasn't like, oh, this is almost... No, it's sickly sweet, and there's a big difference there. Horrible. It was something that's not right. And they're turning. Those bulldozers were constantly, like, they're just pushing stuff back and forth. The dump. Always a fire burning. Well, look at what Jesus does. Jesus, we come to the New Testament now, keeping in mind the background of Gehenna, babies offered in fire, garbage dump. So when Jesus is talking to people and he says, you know, what happens to people that don't obey God? What happens to people that don't come to me? The place they're going to go, he said, it's like Gehenna. And that to a Jew, that they would know, I know what you're saying. Immediately, what clicks in their mind? It had a horrible history. Right? They knew that it was a dump, and you know that all that goes along with that. Jesus says, you know what hell is like? It's like Gehenna. And so thus we get our word. He's taking something that we can't even imagine, and he's trying to help us to understand it. Right? Right? Does hell literally have fire? I don't know that it does. Is hell, the Bible describes hell as a place of outer darkness where there's weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. Someone says, you just said you don't know if hell is fire. That's heresy. No, it's not heresy. Whatever it is, it's worse. You get that? Do I think heaven has streets of gold and pearly gates? I don't. We got pearls here. We got gold here. I think God can do better than that. Why does it say streets of gold? Trying to help us, and all those precious stones in the gates, trying to help us picture heaven, right? Literal streets of gold? No. Better than that. Better than that. What about hell? Is it literal fire? I don't know. But whatever it is, it's worse than that. We've got fire here, right? Whatever it is. And so you look at the different ways it's described. Outer darkness. Well, we don't like the dark normally, do we? You know, think about children being afraid of the dark, a place of outer darkness. That's awful. Weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. Daniel 12, verse 2 says, shame and everlasting contempt. Fire. There's definitely some penal element to it because Luke 12, 47 and 8 talks about being beaten with stripes. Do I believe there's someone there with a belt whipping? I don't. I don't. Well, then why does it say that? Trying to help us to picture. You know what hell is? It's eternal separation from God. You know what death, the word death means, right? It means separation. Separation. James said, the body without the spirit is dead. So when your body and spirit separate, you die. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. But there is a second death, and we don't want any part of it. Remember Revelation 21:8? The fearful and unbelieving, abominable murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, and all idolaters will have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know why you don't want any part of the second death? Because it is an eternal death. What's that mean? Eternal separation. The first separation is when your body and spirit separate. The second death, which we want no part of, is an eternal one, eternal separation of you and God. I'll give you my own judgment. Hell, what is hell? You're separated from God and all that is good. And if we could truly comprehend what that was like, what that means, I think that would be enough. What is hell like? You're separated from God. You have no hope. All that is good and pure, you're removed from. You have no access to it anymore. I think people would hear that and go, oh, I can deal with that. That's all hell is. I think I can deal with that. Right? I'm separated from God now. Right? But these images are used to say, you're eternally separated from God, and here's what it's like. There's punishment involved. Right? Weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth, shame and everlasting contempt. Is it literal fire? Who knows? And I hope I never find out. I don't want to, well, I was right. I mean, you know, I don't want to know that. I don't want to know that. But please don't misunderstand me. Whatever it is, it's worse than that. It's worse than that. Okay. Let's look at some passages. Matthew 5:22. Let's turn there. Because Jesus talked about hell several times in His Sermon on the Mount. Someone read Matthew 5:22, please. This verse, and it still is a frightening verse. I thought Jesus was saying here we can't use the word fool at all. I wouldn't even say April Fool's Day when I was like in kindergarten. Like April Day. I wouldn't even say it. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. Is someone who even not says it out loud, just even thinks it in their heart. The Bible says they're behaving foolishly. So could I say that? Yeah, that's you can say that. But to call someone you fool, Jesus says, you are in danger of Gehenna. I looked at it. I looked at that word, and moron is basically, or do you ever do that? Ever in traffic? Oh, this idiot cut me off. That's what he's talking about. It's not just don't say this word, fool. You're a moron. You are an idiot. That's what he's saying, because that idiot you just called is made in God's image. Right? Man is made in the image of God. So when you get mad at somebody and they're a moron and stupid and an idiot, you better be careful. Because that's what Jesus is talking about. You are in danger when you do that. Right? That's serious business, and we sometimes take it lightly. In verses 29 and 30... He says it's better to go through life with great loss. If your right eye offends you, pluck it out. Your right hand, cut it off. Better to enter to life maimed, right, or halt, than to have all your body cast into the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. So, with the time we have left, I want to look a little bit at the nature of hell. What is hell like? Because we've already said, you know, outer darkness, shame and contempt, weeping and wailing. But let's notice three points here. Someone turn and read Matthew 10:28. Hell is a place where the resurrected body and soul will be subjected to agony. Who's got Matthew 10:28? It's on the screen if you want to. All right, Jesus says, don't be afraid of those that kill the body but can't do anything to the soul. I will tell you who you are to fear. You fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's who you fear. Now, body and soul. I think a lot of times we picture hell, well, it's the spirit. Their spirit, body and soul. They're going to be raised too. We're all going to be raised. Jesus said there's going to be a resurrection, the good and the bad. Paul said a resurrection, the just and the unjust. Their spirit, their bodies as well. Destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, I've circled those words in my Bible. Here's why that's important. Here's the second point. Let's go into that. Hell is a place of conscious awareness. Here's why that's important. Some today, even some of our own brethren, are teaching that hell is not going to be eternal. Eventually, say God's going to annihilate the wicked. He's going to just wipe them out and they'll cease to exist. That's what some brethren are teaching today. God will punish you for a little while, then just you'll cease to exist. And they'll point to passages like Matthew 10:28, where it says, see, it says he will destroy both soul and body in hell. Well, we need to know what the word destroy means there. That's from a word, apolumi. Apolumi is found 92 times in the Greek New Testament. Beside Matthew 10:28 in your Bibles, you might write, see Luke 12, verse 5. It's a companion passage to Matthew 10:28. Would someone read that one? Luke 12:5. In Matthew 10:28, Jesus says, fear him who's able to destroy soul and body in hell. Well, what's it mean? What's that mean to destroy soul and body in hell? Luke 12:5 supplements it. Who's got it? All right, fear the one who after he is killed has power to do what? Cast you into hell. I've underlined cast into hell in my Bible. See Matthew 10:28. What's it mean? What's it mean to be destroyed, both soul and body? It means to be cast into hell. That's the parallel passage, Luke 12, verse 5. And let's demonstrate that. Let's go a little bit further. That word apolumi, destroy, it means loss, not of being, but of well-being. That makes sense? You're still there. You've lost not your being, but you've lost your well-being. I'll give you a couple of examples. This word apolumi is destroy. It's translated by words like lose, lost, perish. Do you remember the prodigal son? Look at, I'm going to have to move quick. Luke 15:24-32. Remember when the son comes back, the father says, this my son was lost and now is found. The word lost there, my son was lost, apolumi. Where had his son been? In the far country. What, was he annihilated in that far country? Did he cease to exist in that far country? No, but he was separated from the blessings of home, wasn't he? That's the same word that Jesus used in Matthew 10:28. All right, Luke. That's Luke 15:24-32. Luke 19:10, Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost, apolumi. Did Jesus come to seek and save people who were non-existent? No, right? So you see what the word means, loss of well-being. That's an understatement to describe what happened in hell. But you're aware. You're aware. Revelation 14:10, look at verse 11. The smoke of their torment goeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night. First of all, look at forever and ever. Unending duration. It's not going to be, well, he'll punish the wicked for a little while, then snuff them out. Forever and ever. How else could you say something? And notice, too, they have no rest. They're not going to be annihilated. That which ceases to be ceases to suffer. But these have no rest day and night. So they don't cease to be. They've lost their well-being. Compare that to two verses later. Revelation 14, 13 says, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. They what? Rest from their labors." Those who die in the Lord rest from their labors. Those who die outside the Lord have no rest day and night. You don't want to die outside the Lord. All right, this is the last point. Hell is a state of body and soul. It's a state of awareness, conscious awareness. Finally, it is eternal. It's unending. I remember being at Fried Hardeman once and seeing like the little brochure, and one of the lessons was titled, "How Long Will Hell Last?" How long will hell last? And then beside it, it said 10 o'clock to 10:45 with Alan Hires. I thought, there you go, 45 minutes. You got 45 minutes with Alan Hires and then you die. Right, no, it was a good lecture. I heard the lecture. Hell's eternal. Jesus said, this is actually John the Baptizer talking here, speaking of Jesus, whose fan is in his hand. He's going to purge that threshing floor, put the wheat in the barn, and the chaff he's going to burn with unquenchable fire. Jesus used the same word in Mark 9, 44, 46, and 48, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. That word unquenchable there is the Greek word asbestos. Sound like any word you ever heard of? Asbestos. Same spelling. They used to use asbestos as insulation. What was one of the reasons they used it? Fireproof. Well, here's a fire that's fireproof. Here's a fire that can't be put out. Jesus says the fire of hell is unquenchable. You cannot put it out. That means hell's forever. It's not going to be quenched. It can't be put out. So whatever the punishment is in hell, it's forever. It's unquenchable. And then the verse we'll stop with. You ought to mark this one in your Bible. If anyone ever were to suggest to you, you know, I can't wrap my mind around that hell is forever. I just can't believe it. You ought to show them what Jesus said in Matthew 25, 46. Remember Matthew 25 is the picture of the judgment scene. Everybody's going to be gathered before him. He's going to divide them like a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. Sheep on the right, goats on the left. Then he'll say to those, well, he gets down to verse 46, which is the last verse of the chapter. These, the goats, will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now, if you have the King James, note they have eternal for one of them, everlasting for another, which means the same thing. But I don't know why they rendered it by two different words, because it's the same word in the Greek. That's why I like the ASV or the ESV. Eternal. It's the same word for both. Eternal is aionion. Eternal punishment, aionion, life. Eternal life. Now, you know, you get the point. Someone says, I just don't think that hell's forever. Well, do you think heaven's forever? Well, yeah. Yeah, heaven's forever. If they have any respect for the Bible, right, if they have any respect for the Lord, if heaven's eternal, so is hell. Same word, right? On the other hand, have you ever heard somebody say this? I think God will let us go to heaven for a while, and then he'll probably just snuff us out. I've never heard that. He'll let us be in heaven for a little while, but then it'll be done. No, we're going to be in heaven forever, eternal life. Well, if you think you're going to be in heaven forever, and you will, then you're also going to have to say that the lost are going to be in hell forever, because it is the same exact word, right? Aion, eternal. 2 Thessalonians 1:9 says the same thing. They shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power. This is about all I ever want to know about hell, and I don't think I want to find out anymore, certainly not personally. Y'all have any questions, comments? I'm glad I could uplift your morning with a lesson on hell. I hope Chance has got something bright for us today. I hope so. Thank y'all.